What type of advisor are you looking for? And if you have one, what type of advisor are they? Because we can title ourselves anything we want. I'm a financial advisor. I'm a planner. I'm right. this. What am I actually doing? And that's what we wanted to cover today and hopefully equip you to make the best decision for yourself.
It's often the little things, small behaviors that can change our lives. That's the power of a financial edge. I'm Ed Meek. I'm a financial advisor with a passion to help you retire early, save more, and live better. Welcome to Ed's Edge, the podcast to help you live the life you've always wanted.
Let's play a game.
I like games.
The game is you and Rachel, when you retire, have a goal, both of you. All you want to do is travel. You want to travel. I mean, you want to travel around the world and you want to have experiences. You want to go to places for a while. I mean, an example would be a couple of years ago, Catherine and I went and saw our son when he was traveling overseas. And one of the places we met, we had some friends, was Belgium.
Mm.
It was, the weather wasn't great, but it was such a cool place. And we said to ourselves when we got back, you know, it'd be pretty neat to like go to a place like this someday for like at least a couple of weeks to a month and just chill, right? So there's a variety of ways when you travel, but we're talking about like experiences. Just imagine that is going to be like your primary goal, okay? When you're retired.
Okay, I'm with you.
And you're not going to just be staying in a place, but you're going to be popping and bopping around and at times and sometimes staying there. So when you do that, are you the type of person who's going to like want to figure it all? Because, you know, we got to like,
absolutely,
you got to fly there, right? You got to figure out, like, are you getting a car? You need to get a chauffeur. I mean, do people even use chauffeurs anymore? I don't know. Like, but that sounded good. You know, the transportation, there's the food, the cuisine, like figure out, like, can I eat this? Like some certain parts of the country or world better, you know, water, right? So all those things. So your answer is no, right?
Absolutely not.
So what are you going to do about that?
Well, I'll either delegate that authority to my wife, which I doubt she would want to in full.
Okay.
More specifically, travel agents still exist, and I think they do a really good job of coordinating everything and understanding what's important to me and my wife and what we want, and she'll help us game plan and direct accordingly and book things for us. I think that'd be wonderful.
And where are you going to find this travel agent?
Good question. Probably online, either online or by referral.
Okay. And which type of travel agent you're going to use? Like, for example, I use the Chase credit card and I've got tons and tons of points. And then I don't use the points until like maybe every couple few years. I kind of build them up and then we use them for flights and part of a vacation, right? So that's one type of travel agent, right? I think there's some out there, like I've followed some travel agents that also suggest, here's how you use points and here's a suggestion doing this. And then you could do it this way, right? And then they have levels, right? You can like get it for free. You can also pay for like level one where they help you a little bit. And then level two where you pay this and they kind of do it all for you.
Yep.
Right? So there's different types of travel agents, right? And then I think there are, not I think, I know there are these services, and they may not be free, and I know they're not free, and they're going to cost some money, but it's like a travel concierge service. Yeah,
we actually used one of them. It's a one-stop shop where they did everything for us. This was in our honeymoon in Hawaii. It was an 11-day trip, and we said, we love Hawaii from what everyone's told us. We've never been.
Were they free? Was that a free service?
It was, we paid an upfront cost. It wasn't that expensive, but it was an upfront cost. And then I think they got paid by some of the hotels that they're connected to that they wanted.
Great.
But yeah, kind of a little bit of both.
Yeah. So I use this as an analogy, right? In the big picture of what we're talking about today. And that is, if you're going to get help when it comes to travel, you could do it yourself. Like, and you're going to have to take the time. You're going to have to become an expert. You're going to have to do a variety of different things, or you can outsource it completely or somewhere in between.
Yep.
That is an analogy. That's pretty good analogy to what we do as advisors, what other advisors do when it comes to your money and your investments and how are you going to take care of it?
Yeah.
That's what we're going to talk about today. People say, oh, my financial advisor. Well, sometimes your financial advisor is this, that, and the other thing. We're going to go through some of the basic ones that we know about, how they work, And from our perspective, how much they can help you, and is it limited or not?
Yeah, no, it's a really good point to make with that. You know, what type of travel agent, what type of advisor are you looking for? And if you have one, what type of advisor are they? Because we can title ourselves anything we want. I'm a financial advisor, I'm a planner, I'm right. this, I'm what am I actually doing? And that's what we wanted to cover today and hopefully equip you to make the best decision for yeah. yourself. So let's kick it off with compensation first, right? Mm-hmm. How are you know, nobody works for free. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
But there's a variety of ways you can be compensated. Like I talked about my travel agent, a little bit up front and a little bit by these hotels. Well, I think of it in three different ways an advisor can get paid. One is a flat fee. Flat fee is a fixed amount, say monthly, on a subscription base that you pay somebody for work to be done. It's almost like a contract of I'm paying you X amount of money per month and you're providing me X amount of services throughout that the time I'm with you. Then you have a commission-based advisor where you aren't paying a fee directly to that advisor. Instead, they are getting their compensation from the investment products or insurance products.
You're paying the fee through, like the product that you buy has embedded usually bigger fees, and then they're used to pay for the advisor and also the company that's providing it. Again, there's nothing wrong with that model. It's just there are fees. You just don't see, I say it, you don't see them, taste them, touch them, smell them unless you look under the hood.
Yeah, yeah. And I can't tell you how many times we'll have someone come in to meet us for the first time and they bring in their statements from their existing advisor and they say, look, there's no fees. Mm-hmm. Well, again, nobody works for free. There's something right. in there. Often when those situations occur, they're getting paid by the
in this situation, you get what you pay for when it comes to this. Mm-hmm. Fees that are out there. A lot of times there's more than you think. And if they're not, then you might not be getting everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the third and final one, which is how we work, is clients pay us for an ongoing relationship. And the way that fee structure works is it's a percentage of the assets that we are helping manage for them, including all the services that we cover. And so it's a little bit of a fixed, a little bit of a variable, depending on how the performance goes. But anyways, those are the three types of fees that people can, or commissions, I should say, compensation that people can have.
Yep, that's how they get compensated. Exactly. Let's talk about the first type of advisor. I was one of them when I first got out of college. I was a business major. I did lots of interviews, various types of sales jobs because I wanted to be in sales. And I ended up taking a job at a company called Equitable. And I was primarily, first and foremost, a life insurance salesman. I did some other types of insurance, but primarily life insurance and sometimes annuities were the solution for most investment needs for people. I was 22 years old and this seemed like it made sense for clients. And in some instances, it really did. Mm-hmm. So I was a financial advisor that had a focus of using these types of investment products and had other ones to my disposal. And all of them paid me a commission. So I got paid to have them go into life insurance. I got paid if they went into a mutual fund. And that's how I got compensated. And it was different depending on how much money they put in and which product they use. So inherently, I was a little biased, and that was the first job. So there's a lot of great financial advisors that do this, but they do have a lens and a focus that they believe, and in some instances it is the case, that these types of investment products will be the best thing for mm-hmm. for an investor.
It's typically an insurance focus, mm-hmm. and that's the lens they speak from, despite knowing some other aspects mm-hmm. potentially. Number two with types of advisors are the quote-unquote investment managers or brokers even.
Yeah, that was the people who are older have heard the term broker.
I got my broker.
Big firms, UBS, Merrill Lynch, you know, a lot of different, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes what they do is they will evaluate you from a risk tolerance standpoint, have you fill out some questionnaires, you'll answer them, and then it will spit out some data for them. And their focus is to manage those investments. And that is their lens that they speak from instead of insurance, is on the investment side. They may know a little bit about insurance. They certainly, we hope they know some about tax, because that's really important with investment strategy, but the focus is the investments. Mm. And so that's their area of expertise.
Sometimes they, not sometimes, some of them are what are called certified financial planners. So they understand the big picture, some of them. They understand how to holistically help people. But sometimes their focus and compensation might be slightly different than the other model we talked about.
That's right. That's right.
Number three, accountants, tax advisors, tax preparers. They sometimes, not always, but sometimes also provide investment services for people that they help. It seems like a good natural fit. And sometimes it actually is. They focused on, became accountants and specialized in preparing taxes first and foremost. And they can also help, and they do also help in these other areas. Some of the limitations are it's not their primary focus. So for example, us being certified financial planners, we focus on kind of holistically all the different areas of financial planning and think about it one step back. And not necessarily just through a tax lens. And it's not that they do that either, but sometimes it's kind of a side thing for them or something that isn't their primary focus, which is preparing taxes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They got everyone, as you can gather here from what we're talking about, everyone's got their specialty in the first couple examples here. And then they might have some understanding of all the other areas. But as you just mentioned, it's important that if you're working with someone in the specialty, you understand that big picture if you don't hire someone who does, because they can affect each other, right? I have too much gains and I need the money and I sell. It affects my taxes, which affects maybe my Medicare, which affects, you know, some other components of my financial life. They all need to work together. So anyways, that's the specialty piece. Now I want to shift a little bit to those that maybe want to be a little bit more hands-on. Mm-hmm. But lean on someone as a sounding board. And that type of individual, they might call themselves a financial advisor. I like to think of them, this is something I did for early on in my career, as more of a financial consultant, a coach, for lack of a better word. And what these individuals do is you call them for questions and you lean on them for what their knowledge. And so I did that for many, many years when I got out of college, and I enjoyed that. I had some limitations on giving direct advice on what you can do, but I helped educate. The reason I didn't enjoy that as much was it became a little bit more transactional. I was reacting to all these questions and just helping instead of understanding the big picture. But again, it's very right for those that want to be in charge and just become educated and lean on that
person. I also was one of those before I started this company. So I was an insurance financial advisor for a couple of years and then transitioned to Fidelity Investments as a financial consultant. Mm-hmm. I became a certified financial planner early on there, which was awesome. And I was in the same role. So what I would do was people would come in, they'd come in with all different shapes and sizes when it came to their investments and all of that. And what would happen is I would then help them kind of stand alongside of them and say, okay, well, here's this that can help you in this way. Here's this. If you want to do it all yourself, here's some ideas. Here's some investments. I didn't directly manipulate their investments or directly like come alongside them and help them implement this and this. I would make suggestions. And these are financial consultants in various steps, and they do a great, great job. You know, my son works at a firm that's like that right now, and he's not doing that yet, but he will be. And there's a lot of advisors, and so that's where I came from doing it as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good option for the right individual.
Right. So then that brings us to the last one, which is what we do. We are certified financial planners, and when people say, "Yeah, I do financial planning," as we know, sometimes they do, and sometimes they use the term a little loosely. Of financial planning. Financial planning, if you want to work with a certified financial planner, you want to make sure that they are comprehensively looking at every single area of your financial picture and in an artful way, making sure they're helping you make every financial decision that will help you best achieve all of your goals. If done correctly, this can make a huge difference in when you retire, how you retire. I kid you not, because you take into account a variety of different things. And the earlier on that you allow your investments to grow, that you have until you retire, the bigger difference all of these things can make. So all of the other roles that we've talked about can and do these things to a certain extent. But what we believe is that if you have someone that helps you do this in this way, it can make a big difference.
Yes, absolutely. We've seen it firsthand from many of the stories we talked about on prior episodes. It's so fulfilling to us. But in short, we are very holistic. We start out with the 10,000 foot view. We want to make sure we understand every desire that you have and talk about every area of these planning in time with you. And if there is the desire to file taxes, which we don't do, or an estate planning need with an estate planning expert, we'll refer out accordingly and make sure we handhold along the way. And so that's the approach we take, but we're very hands-on, and our goal is to take the least, have you do the least amount of work for yourself so that you can feel at peace.
So let's turn this around to you in the audience. There's a variety of different people that and how they handle their investments. We come across them. And so let's just discuss the different personality types. What we'd like to do is, if you can answer yes to these four questions, then you should become the first personality type, which is very self-directed, a do-it-yourselfer. You can handpick some of these different types of advisors for some of the services, but you could do it on your own. Do you have the time? People could certainly do these things on their own, but if you don't spend the right amount of time and game plan correctly, which we talked about in the last one, plan appropriately, that's super important. Do you have the expertise? You better make sure that you learn these things. I mean, we're not rocket scientists, but it's also not something that I'm never going to be. brain surgeons, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But you do have to have some knowledge and can just consistently stay up on top of it. So time, and then desire. Do you have the desire to do this?
That's
you
know, where I found to be the biggest one is desire. Is people say, yeah, I'm retired now. I do have the time. I have the expertise. I feel like I've got it equipped and enough for themselves. But do you want to do it? Because you're retired.
Right.
So, you know, just be honest with yourself on these questions.
And then do you have the emotional makeup to handle various crazy different market conditions?
We call that discipline.
Yeah. I mean, it's all part of that. So going back to the story initially, I asked you about how would you handle, you know, if you were going to be this type of traveler, world traveler with your wife for the rest of your life. Maybe you could eventually become a do-it-yourselfer, but you don't. That's not what you wanted
to do.
For me,
it'd be the desire piece. I probably would have the time. I think I'd like to say I was smart enough to do some homework on this and search, but I might even be lying myself a little bit there on knowing every piece to every area. But do I want to? No.
No, exactly.
I don't.
And there's a certain amount that you pay for that, but that's a conversation we have with people who aren't sure about this is... Will it be a good enough trade-off what you're going to pay? And if somebody can just let their hair down, not have to think about this, except when they set it all up, set the game plan up and let people like us implement it, it's often well worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So other personality types are...
Yeah. The second one is the validator is what we're going to coin it as. The validator is someone that probably is most applicable to that financial consultant role of they want to be involved, but they need to lean on someone because they realize they don't know everything. And so the analogy we'll use is you're the co-pilot. Right, you're not driving everything, but you're directing accordingly and having someone help you along the way. So that there's a lot of validators out there, and that's where they lean on someone. And then within those buckets of tax and insurance and estate and investments, they might say, "All right, I'm going to hire a specialist for this and this alone." But a validator, you might consider yourself one.
Right. And sometimes we see them, we take care of them sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they might be a little bit more on the end of do-it-yourselfer.
Yep.
The last one is people who hire us, for sure, are delegators. people who want to do what you were saying that you would do to a certain extent. I for sure would do that if I ended up being, me and Catherine wanted to eventually do this kind of thing, which we'll do to a certain extent someday, hopefully, but is I would prefer just paying someone a little extra money or some extra money. It would be awesome to not even have to, I mean, I want to have some, you know, like, hey, I'll just figure out the day where we're going to go eat, but I don't want to have to mess with. And the reason is because I remember, you know, I have done this a couple times on vacations where when we were a couple years ago visiting my son, I was coordinating, you know, we had to fly and take trains and I did it all right, except for one time I booked the flight. At the time, it seemed like it was the right flight, but the day of, it was the wrong flight. It was on the wrong day. It was a week later. And I was like, oh gosh. And it was because I was trying to do it all on my own, like trying to save some money, be, do it yourselfer, but it wasn't the right idea. And so I've learned that I like being a do-it-yourselfer, but eventually I just want to be the delegator.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't agree more on my end with that travel. And so, you know, a couple of final thoughts with tips as we kind of conclude all these things we're talking about is number one, don't hesitate to ask, as if you're exploring an advisor or have a current one, of ask them, how are they compensated? Understand their structure to make sure it's lined up with what you're looking for. And then understand all of the services that they provide and perhaps some that they don't, so that you get a good understanding of what you're getting and what you can lean on that individual for along the way. And then probably the final thought on all this is trust your gut. You know, can you trust them? Do you get along well with that individual? Do you see this as an ongoing relationship working for you? Don't just wing this. This is an important decision for yourself when you're doing the search or have someone that you're considering shifting away from. So it's an important decision, and we hope today educated you to make those.
Yep.
All right. Shifting now to Ed's food for thought.
Time for a recipe.
Let's do it.
All right. So this one might be one of the best. It's new to me, but they're pretty amazing. And other friends of mine, Andy from the office, who loves to cook, we know. My brother-in-law, his name's Alex. He loves to cook too.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, he loves it. He'll spend way more time than me. I love to do it.
Is that why you gave the blessing for him in marriage? Is your you can cook? Let's do it.
Oh, me giving him the blessing?
Uh-huh.
I don't remember.
I figured he would have asked you.
So I gave him the recipe over the holidays. I think it was Thanksgiving, and he took the recipe. And by the time I saw him at Christmas, he'd done it like three times.
Oh wow!
So these are called melting potatoes. So I think most of us do love potatoes in various forms, and I think this one might be the best. And it can complement a lot of things. What it is, you take these big Idaho potatoes, and what he's found, and I think this is probably true, is the ones at a Costco are a little bit bigger, is you cut them in circles, and they're anywhere from like an inch to an inch and a half high. And so that's how you have them set up. And then you cook them in a really hot pan with melted butter. And you keep, you know how like sometimes when people are cooking steaks, they like put the, you know, you see them like with some rosemary and they put the melted butter on top of it and it gets them nice and golden brown. And that's step one. That's the hard part. It's not even that hard. And then you take them and then you put them in the oven. I can't remember the amount of time. We're going to have the recipe on here. And I'm going to have a link to the YouTube video where I found it. And they come out and they like melt in your mouth. They're crispy on the outside, brown crispy, and they melt in your mouth. And they're amazing with the various spices on there. So I'd suggest giving it a try.
I'm hungry
maybe
already.
Maybe Rachel, give it a try.
I will certainly forward that along to her because you're making me hungry just by listening to that. So good stuff. All right, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for watching.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next time.
This podcast represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time, should not be relied upon as investment advice, and is not intended to predict or depict performance of any investment. Any specific recommendations or comparisons that are made as to particular securities or strategies are for illustrative purposes only and are not meant as investment advice for any viewer.